And welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guest today is Candy Markham, which means if it's candy, it must be Pledge Drive.
Welcome back, Candy.
Thank you.
Always good to see you.
Pledge Drive is, today's the 5th. Pledge Drive has been going on since November 1st, so that's 4 days.
So bright.
We have $78,525 to go. For a $78,000 pledge, you get 2 t-shirts.
And a canvas bag.
And a canvas bag. 2 canvas bags.
2 canvas bags. Mm-hmm. All right.
And we'll even throw in an apron.
That's coming from Laurent.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laurent.
Special.
But I love the aprons because they have pockets.
Yes.
I have 2 of them.
I love that apron.
You have 2 pockets or 2 aprons?
I have 2 aprons that each have 2 pockets.
So you have 4 pockets.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we tell you how to call and donate that $78,000?
Oh, okay.
That's 972-647-1893.
972-647-1893.
Give us a call.
At 972-647-1893, and I did that without looking.
I'm
terrible with numbers. I'm terrible with numbers. I always have to look at what our phone number is, 972-647-1893. Give us a call and support LGBT radio, because KNON has supported the LGBT community since before there was even a Dallas Voice, before there was an internet, before there was any resource for the LGBT community, and they've been behind us ever since.
Since August of 1983.
Mm-hmm.
I bet we have listeners who weren't even born then.
A lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have some DJs here who weren't born then.
Oh.
Not me.
Actually, before the show, we were just talking about age. And Candy's been taking care of her mom, who's in her 90s and is going off hospice. People.
Yes, she's getting better.
I mean, normally it's when exciting. People go off hospice, it's not a good thing.
So your mom was the original Catwoman.
She is. She's a cat. She said God just isn't ready for her yet. Okay.
Well, that's a good thing.
We'll do more
of
this.
Thing.
That's right.
Let's get to Candy, but give us a call, 972-647-1893. Support LGBT radio. Support our eclectic programming. After this show, I'm staying around for the next show, which is the Ethiopian show. Do I speak Amharic? Not real well, but I have it recorded. So, but that's what the station is. It's such complete diversity that sometimes I do the Jewish Music Hour. I've done the polka show, the gay show, whatever.
I don't think you've done the Gospel Hour. Right?
I haven't really. No, that I haven't particularly. But
haven't done that yet.
But we're good friends with the people on the gospel shows, so. That's just what KNON is. It's a good variety of things. Candy, I wanted to start with a friend of mine is in prison.
Uh-huh.
And I met him because of a story that I had written for Dallas Voice. He was just recently denied parole. And he listens, so hi down there at Estes Unit. Here's his history in prison that I want to talk about a little bit. He's gotten his GED while he was in prison. He got a welding certificate through a course that he had taken. He got transferred after that to a prison where he could take some college courses, got straight A's, and deserved them. He sent me some of his papers and deserved them. How did he get those A's? He worked really hard. He got transferred to a program up here at the Estes Unit called the Prison Entrepreneurial Program. It has, compared to the general prison population, a recidivism rate of about 3%. So letting people out is not a big danger to society. About 3,000 people applied, about 250 got in, 59 graduated. I went to the graduation. It was the most joyous graduation I've ever been to. I mean, I was standing on my chair hooting and hollering when he was in the top 10 of his class.
Wow.
That's impressive.
It is. And then he was denied parole. And one of the things that's discouraging and dispiriting and depressing is that he's seen other people get out on parole. You know, he said at the other prisons he was in that were maximum security, he'd see people come and go. Here he's seeing people come and get out.
Right.
And he has at least another year to go. What are some words that you have for him? Because he's discouraged.
Sure.
I'm pissed off.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I he sounds like a fella who's going to do well. I think some of the timings that have happened to people at the time sound horrible and turn out to have been the way it should have been. So to try to trust in the timing, that timing is perfect. But it is disappointing, and for him to go ahead and be disappointed, for you to go ahead and be disappointed and discouraged, but to remember that he is a winner. He is winning things, and by that I don't mean by luck. He's earning them. But he's a strong person, and I want him to remember that he's a strong person. And that, you know, they tell us life is fair. Well, what I say to folks is fair is something that comes to Dallas in October. Mm-hmm. You know, life isn't fair. But to hang in there, he's a good person. Don't lose hope for himself. Remember who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And just go ahead and do whatever the universe is asking for him to do this year so that he can be up for parole at the end of this year. And I bet you that he makes it.
Mm-hmm.
And to make the most of it, and he's got good friends out here who are rooting for him, but to hang in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that's just tough.
Oh, it is.
You know, and sometimes things happen in a way you don't want them to happen, and or you were expecting a different outcome, and you just don't get it.
And it's not fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know OJ's big parole hearing that was on TV? Yeah. And it was, we don't have those in Texas. He never got to see his parole voters.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way here in Texas. They got a letter from him, a letter from his program, and a letter from me. Yeah, and basing it just on that doesn't always work.
Well, so. I know he's listening, and I know his friends are listening, and we all want him to hang in there and figure out what he wants to do with this year, that maybe a goal that he has or something that he can do mm-hmm. that's productive and positive during this year mm-hmm. and to plan on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're talking about timing, I just think through so many things in my life about, you know, I'm just angry and disappointed yep. that things didn't come when I wanted them to come.
Yeah.
But things came in my life that I cherish today because I didn't see them coming and I wasn't expecting them and I wasn't chasing them and I wasn't like hell bent on getting them, but they just happened and they happened at the right time.
Yeah.
And I think that's always a real blessing to remember that you can't control it. And oftentimes life has something special for you.
Yes, mm-hmm. it does.
You know?
It does.
And speaking of getting things that you need and timing, how about a beanie hat and scarf set?
How about it, David?
How is that for a good segue? It is Pledge Drive, and one of our special pledge premiums, because it's gotten cold outside, it's November, we all have the fireplaces going, they're predicting snow somewhere else. We have the KNON beanie hat and scarf set, both black and white varsity stripes, the knit hat and scarf with a black embroidered KNON Voice of the People logo on the white thick stripe on the hat and scarf. For a $60 pledge, you get one set. You can get two sets for $100. In case it gets extra cold.
And the next one is one of my favorites. The fleece blanket. You can get a gray fleece throw blanket with a black KNON embroidered logo in the corner. It's perfect to keep you warm on the couch, in the bed, sporting events, or just about anywhere. It's only $60. I have several of those at the house. Love them.
So that you can curl up in front of the fire?
Yes. More like curl up in front of the TV, but...
Whereas we wrap our puppies in them, and then they like, this is our blanket. This is not your blanket.
Mm-hmm. They like right? hot dogs.
Yes.
Sorry.
We also have, this is another special premium this time, a next level French Terry zip up 8.8 ounce hoodie, a stylish long sleeve navy blue zip up hoodie with two front pockets. We're all about pockets here. And Candy, maybe those two pockets on the hoodie you could wear over your apron. And
yeah,
then you'll have four pockets.
I was looking at that. That's handsome looking. Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah. It is a nice one. Anyway, that goes for, it has two drawstrings, the KNON logo and the hoodie liner is gray. Comes small through 3X. It'll fit you, Patty. That's for a $100 pledge.
I gotta have room for my girls.
972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Give us a call. Help us celebrate our upcoming 35th anniversary on the air.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, I bought, I got a KNON backpack a number of years ago, and I used to keep it in my car. And it was just something I could grab if I just was, you know, spontaneously going to something and I just want something to carry. But when it came time for Aaron and I to do our trip last year, or this earlier this year, to Canada, where we had to go on the train, we were riding the train from Toronto to Vancouver. We had very, very strict measurements for our stuff that we could take on the train. And it turned out that the KNON backpack absolutely met, like, maximized one of those pieces of luggage. And I tell you what, it was a trooper. That thing has been across Canada and back, and it was just wonderful. And you can get a backpack, a KNON backpack, and especially if you're doing the train ride, it was really, really nice. The KNON Mission Black Pack. It's black with a gray logo with multiple compartments, and it's $50. So it's a $50 pledge. 972-647-1893.
I think this is a different backpack. That if you have one of the older KNON backpacks, this is a different backpack.
Oh.
It is. Okay. I'm looking at it, and I have one of the older ones.
Yeah, it's. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
And we're looking because things are hanging in the studio all over the studio.
Yeah, just pull it down to the mic.
And it is a much bigger one than the old backpacks were. So 972-647-1893. That's for a $50 pledge. Give us a call, Patty. You have some of the expenses that we have here at KNON.
Yes, every month KNON has to cough up money for expenses just to run the station.
There's Patty's salary.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Patty's salary.
And by the way, congrats to Gene Soslow, who is now on the board of KNON.
That's right. Congratulations, Gene.
Yeah, and I asked him if, you know, as a new board member, if he could arrange for direct deposit for our paychecks. That would just be really something. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd speed things up. That
now, those listening need to know, these people don't get paid squat. They volunteer.
So that direct deposit would be a grand total of $0.
Zero.
Actually, we
get
do
our zero faster.
We get our zero much faster.
We do get paid squat.
Very good.
But there are actual expenses here.
There are. All the DJs aren't paid. None of the DJs are paid. I should say that. But the station does have expenses. We have $4,876, the big expense for the tower lease. That gets our signal out on the tower. We have office rent, $2,750 a month. Phone services. We have tower and equipment repairs that have to happen. If you've ever been in those rare moments over the last 35 years where we've been dead air, we have to scramble and get that stuff going. But we have expenses to keep it going. And those are $1,530 every month. We have engineering services, the tower electricity, $1,166 a month.
Well, because we're a 55,000-watt station, it's the same thing as shining a 55,000-watt light bulb.
Right.
It's expensive. So
we have a lot of things going on. So it's an average
LaRon,
of 100.
LaRon, while this is going on, LaRon is trying to give Josh his headphones because Josh's weren't working, and it's like a comedy act here because instead of just walking them around the table,
it won't work.
Oh, you're just trying to hear it yourself.
He's just trying to plug in somewhere else.
Okay, yeah. That wasn't working for me before either. And that's another thing. We have repairs here.
We do. to the sum of $1,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So our average, you know, the tower lease every day costs us $162.53.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone would like to pledge $162.53, that would mean Lambda Weekly took care of the tower for one day, you know, this month. So,
and you can do that by calling 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. And we're joking about that, but we do need to contribute our portion of that. It's 1 hour a week, so divide that by, you know, 7-8 days a week, however many, and 24, 34 hours a day, however many there are in your day. But we need to contribute our portion of it. So 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893.
I want to thank Erin for pledging $100 for the hoodie. She loves her KNON hoodie. And if we have a new one, especially a fleece hoodie.
We do.
You got to add to that collection.
This is right up Erin's alley. Mm-hmm. She's loving those hoodies.
And this one looks like a nice long hoodie. Erin is tall.
Mm-hmm.
She'll like that one.
Yeah. So. It'd be a dress on me, but...
Especially the 3X that you always get.
Don't trip over it.
You're not that sure.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis. Our guest is Candy Markham, and the late Patty Fink has deigned to join us.
On time.
Hey.
This is Rollins Gilliland, and I'm listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3, and darn glad to be doing it.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. Candy Markham is our guest. It is Pledge Drive. Let me just give you those numbers again. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Candy,
We want to say thank you to Candy for her pledge. Thank you so much, Candy.
Well, thank you, Candy.
We appreciate it.
Very well.
And they
She's also getting a hoodie.
They're getting the lesbian hoodie.
It's a thing.
Well, if Erin got one, I had to get one.
Holidays are coming up. And holidays can be difficult for a number of reasons. Depends on what situation you're in. You know, in your family, Laurent, you have a big family.
I do.
And now that you have a child,
uh-huh.
You're welcome in it.
On that half, yeah.
It can be difficult.
Yes.
For a number of reasons, like people who are in same-sex relationships and the family isn't that thrilled with it.
Right. And perhaps even these days, people are not out to their parents. And I bet if we did a study, we would find out that the favorite time for people to come out to their families would be Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. It's efficient.
Well, it kind of ruins the holiday at that moment. But you know, we want to bring our people home. We want to bring our boyfriend or girlfriend or partner or spouse, whatever we have there, we want to bring them home. We love our family. We love our partner. We want them to all be together. And it's a process to come out. It takes time. It is also a process as a family to integrate that new person into your family. So it is, besides it just being stressful anyway because the family's together and we're trying to cook and make it all okay, it's also the stress of perhaps interjecting a new person into our family and seeing visibly that our child is with the same gender person. We can maybe hear about it, we can maybe think about it, but visually at the table, there it is. Mm-hmm. So I think that can be stressful. I also think family gatherings can be stressful if for some reason you're not going home.
Yes.
A lot of people will have what they call orphan Thanksgivings, and anyone that's not going home can come over. And why do they do that? Because we all grew up with some kind of tradition of Thanksgiving, you know, around our family. And we may not be doing it because we don't feel welcome or because we just broke up with someone, or in David's case, where you lose someone to death. Holidays magnify if you're single.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're in a bad relationship, it kind of magnifies that too. But not to say that I have to say to you guys, my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I love Thanksgiving. It does not get enough attention. But I absolutely
Christmas
do.
Overshadows everything.
Oh my gosh. Like, it went from Halloween to Christmas.
Oh, wait. They practically skip Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I went, Halloween was on a Tuesday this year. I went on Saturday before Halloween, trying to get some last minute items to help build Gabrielle's costume. And I went to two different stores and, like, where is all the Halloween stuff? Oh, we already put it up. Okay, Halloween hasn't even passed yet. It hasn't even passed yet. And there were no Thanksgiving stuff out. It was all Christmas. It is crazy.
Right.
It is crazy.
And yet, even though our stores do not pay attention to mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, we do as people. In our hearts, it's the first big holiday. I think a lot of people like Thanksgiving like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is stressful for LGBTQ folks in a additional way than it is for straight people. But mm-hmm. I think it's stressful for everyone, too.
Right. Yeah, I guess any couple bringing a new person into the family, that can be stressful.
Yes.
But when you're not used to that other person being a same-sex partner, it just adds an extra level for some people.
Well, here's a for instance.
Not in my family, but...
Where do we sleep?
Right.
Well, now, some folks may... I remember, this isn't a GLBT thing, but when my sister brought her now husband over to my father's for one of the holidays, his name is Bill, and Bill said, "You know where I'm going to sleep?" And I said, "No, Bill, where are you going to sleep?" And he said, "Anywhere Dr. Markham tells me to sleep." So, I mean, that is, the parents will tell you, you know, you can use your old room, or, you know, someone can be on the sofa and you can be in your old room. It's an awkward thing. Now that we can marry, I wonder if that's made a difference.
I think it has.
For parents accepting and letting them sleep in the same room.
I mean, what I noticed, especially after Brian died, every time I said, yeah, we were married, it just raised the level a little bit. It just made it that much more okay.
Yes.
And I've been noticing that with people, an acceptance. I'm not even sure how to explain it, really. But it just seems like, oh, okay, so you can really get married. So since you can really get married, I guess being married is okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could talk a little bit about, I guess kind of taking the power and, you know, away from our parents or our relatives who don't, quote unquote, accept us. You know, one of the things I love about our community is we, probably better than any other community, we know how to make our own families.
Yes.
Whether legal or not, we make our own families. Mm-hmm. But you do have some individuals who's in the LGBT community who still will go to, you know, their parents at their family's house during Thanksgiving, knowing what the atmosphere is going to be like, especially if they were to bring a partner. Some of them have been forbidden to even bring that partner, but they still go. And, you know, I mean, I kind of take a hard line when it comes to this acceptance stuff with my own family. You know, if you don't want me, believe you me, I will not be there.
They want you. They don't want the other person.
Right. And then, you know, trust me, I've had that conversation. It's either all of me or none of me.
Right.
What do you say to those individuals who still feel the need to, like, I got to go home during Thanksgiving, when they know what it's going to be like?
Well, Ron, I kind of think everyone has their own free will to do that. It hurts me for them to walk into that hostile environment, that discriminating environment. My sibling's not going to bring his children over because my partner and I are coming over and they think we're pedophiles. That's all so hurtful, I think. And yet, kind of like the puppy that gets abused, we just keep going back for more. A person does what they think is right for them.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be right for you. It would not be right for me.
It would not be right for me at all.
You know, I belong to a couple of gay father groups, and one of them, This guy has posted, you know, extensively about how his mother and father and his brother are incredibly homophobic. He has a husband and two adopted children. They won't even, let alone, they won't even acknowledge the children. He's more than welcome to come home for Thanksgiving and the holidays, but he can't bring his husband and he can't bring the children. They don't even acknowledge that they have adopted grandchildren.
That's bizarre.
It is, but, I know, exactly. But yeah, he'll still go. He says, they're my parents. I go.
That, I think that is so hurtful, and it kind of reminds me of the Stockholm Syndrome. Do y'all remember the Stockholm Syndrome where you'd be a prisoner of war, and you'd be kept in horrible conditions and beat and tortured, but maybe one day your jailer brings you a little extra piece of bread, and you're like, oh, so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that he's been so beaten down that anything of, well, at least I'm still welcome, is like that little piece of bread. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And I guess there are kind of different levels of it. Maybe you just came out to your family, so this year you're going to go yourself.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, but you have to judge for yourself.
Yeah, it's a process.
Where is it a process, and where is it actually abuse?
Right.
You know, don't take the abuse, but work with the family on the process. I remember a number of years ago, I was talking to somebody from PFLAG. I was at a PFLAG meeting and broke up into small groups. And this one mother, she said, you know, my son came out on Friday and I've been dealing with this all weekend and I hope he's, you know, he knows that I'm trying to accept. I looked at her, I said, it's Monday. If he thinks that you're not doing everything you can to understand and to be a loving mother, have him call me. And I'll tell him to back off.
And she's a PFLAG. She's trying.
Right, yeah, exactly, exactly.
And a PFLAG that somehow had a meeting right away between Friday and Monday.
She was at a PFLAG 4 days later. So, yeah. You know.
But for those kids who are in a similar situation and their parents have not gone to a PFLAG meeting, it would be helpful to hear, I still love you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't.
And if you'd like to say, I love you, you can call 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Because it's pledge drive. And say I love you with a pledge to Lambda Weekly.
One of your better segues, I have to say.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was smooth.
Well, that's
nice pitch to you.
That's what we're all about here at KNON. Smooth. We don't do programming that comes to us from out of town. We do our own programming.
As you can readily tell.
One of the things that we have is you can become a KNON Elite Music Sponsor. You get a free pair of tickets to every KNON benefit for the year. KNON has 40 to 50 shows every year because we're your live music radio station. We play great music on your radio and bring you great music to local stages. We're not playing music now because we're a talk show, but sometimes I do the Jewish Music Hour, and people have told me that they like the variety that I do compared to the rabbi does different types of music than I play.
You're Fiddler on the Roof all the way.
No, he's Fiddler on the Roof. I'm more wicked. anyway, if you would like to just be on the list, and Patty, you've done this before. Mm-hmm. You're just on the list, and you can go to any or all of our shows. It's a $500 pledge, but if you think about it, how much do you pay for just two tickets to a show?
Sure.
But this usually includes dinner, too.
A lot of those shows have a lot of food.
So if you'd like to be an Elite Music Sponsor, 972-647-1893, and actually you can use that number to make any pledge at all. We have Josh's standing by, because at this station, when you pledge, you're calling actually to the studio, not to some call center out of town. 972-647-1893. Yes, that was meant to be a dig at that other station.
And I just say about the Elite Music Sponsor, one of the joys of being an Elite Music Sponsor is just knowing that it's there. You don't have to worry about, do I have the tickets? Did you put the tickets in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the tickets? You're just on the list. Mm-hmm. And so you just show up. You don't have to fumble and worry about it.
And after you go a few times, you don't even need to look at the list. It's like, oh, hi, and you're just part of the KNON family.
Very good point, Patty. We just went to a concert a week ago, and literally the night of, we couldn't find the tickets. I was freaking out.
So we've all been there. That's why I was ready with the story.
But no, Patty is right. So you don't have to worry about it.
You just show up. And it's a joy. And you know every time you walk in that you're supporting the station, mm-hmm. because your $500 elite mm-hmm. sponsor, Music Elite sponsor, is supporting the station year-round. So please give us a call for that. That's a wonderful way to support.
972-647-1893. Our guest today is Candy Markham. She's usually our guest for the first day of Pledge Drive. We're talking a little bit about holidays and dealing with the holidays for people who are gay in a relationship, gay and single, gay and just lost a partner, you're just dealing with the family. Somebody told me a story that they were talking to somebody. He decided to come out on Thanksgiving and to the whole family, and there were 60 people there at Thanksgiving dinner.
Did he need a microphone?
He just decided he didn't want to have to tell this story 60 times. So.
Like I said, it's efficient, but that's about all you can say.
But that's usually not the best way to do it. One of the things we talked a little bit about before the show was dealing with family when you're different ages.
Yes. You know, not everyone comes out at the same age. Statistics tell us that a male will know that he's gay when he's like 15.
Ooh, that late?
Or earlier, but the average. A female will know that she's a lesbian when she's probably 16 to 17. So we know pretty early, most of us do. But whatever is going on in your life as far as your relationship with yourself, with your parents, with your religion, can make you decide that I'm going to be straight, and so maybe get in heterosexual relationships, maybe even have kids, and come out later. Or just don't do anybody and come out later. When that happens, it's different from when you're in your 20s and you say to your parents and your siblings, I'm gay or lesbian, than when you're in your 40s and you not only have to come out to your siblings and your parents, but your children.
And your spouse.
Yes, and the spouse, exactly. And so it is a different situation. And then it's kind of like, well, Thanksgiving perhaps has been at your house these last 4 or 5 years or 10 years. And what do we do at that now? And when do we introduce the new paramour? And so there's a lot on the plate. But what I have seen, just phenomenologically, I haven't studied this, but just seen, is that I think people who come out late are better at accepting it 100% than people who come out early. I mean, they just seem to just take it on. Where people who come out early, they'll, you know, maybe tell this many people or that many people or, you know.
Is it because if you come out older, you're more comfortable with who you are when you finally do come out and you've had longer to process it?
Yeah, I think you're just more mature.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting. I would almost, in my observation, the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm with you, Leron. I
know several people that have come out later, and you can tell there's still like sometimes a daily struggle to tell certain people.
What I see is that the older ones are real willing to hold hands in public. They're used to doing that with the other spouse mm-hmm. that they were with. That they're more publicly affectionate, more publicly, you can see they're a couple. So it's interesting, and maybe, like I said, it's phenomenological. I haven't read about it, but it may be that because you all are different ages than I am, that you see younger people in a different way.
And one of the things you said, as you get older, it could be because you're more mature.
Right.
As I've gotten older, I haven't experienced that.
There are always exceptions to every rule.
We need to take a break in just a minute. This is Pledge Drive Week at KNON. The number to call is 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. They gave us a list of the things about our shows that are different. So number one is, this show is like any other show because... And I'm just laughing. I don't know. Even listening to other gay shows, I don't know that I've heard one quite like this one.
You haven't.
This show is unlike any other show because it's been on for almost 35 years. We're one of the first ever shows, and now we're the longest running LGBT show on anywhere in the world, as far as we know. Number two, and this one I always laugh at, KNON does not sell its donor list or any of your information to anybody. Now, it takes a computer to compile a donor list, right?
You have to have a computer.
We're still using 8-track tape machines here to play stuff. So we don't have computers.
So we maybe might have a legal pad.
Mm-hmm.
Or an index card.
And to sell, can you imagine somebody buying our donor list and they're being handed a pack of index cards, right? Not going to happen.
In other words, listeners, your information is totally safe with us.
We have lots of shredders, which we use after you donate. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Give us a call, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Valletta Lill, and I listen to Lambda Weekly. I hope that you will, too.
And not only does Valletta Lill listen to Lambda Weekly, she donates to Lambda Weekly, so we love you, Valletta.
Gotta love her.
And, you know, Valletta, I don't know if she's probably not listening because she's probably in the air, but she's being stalked by President Trump.
Yes.
On Twitter?
In life.
She keeps following her wherever she goes.
She went to Hawaii. Her son lives in the Philippines, and they met in Hawaii. You know, Valletta's husband is an airline pilot. Mm-hmm. And she went to the Arizona Memorial in the morning, and Trump went in the evening.
She
was staying in Waikiki, and then he stayed in Waikiki, you know, and then they're going, his son's going to the Philippines, and then Trump is going to the Philippines, and she's like,
And
by the way,
he'll be there next week.
I was going to say, did you see the signs?
Hmm. Yeah, welcome to Kenya.
Welcome to Kenyan signs. Hawaii. When I first read it, I thought this is the joke. But then, I saw the pictures. I saw the pictures. That was brilliant, whoever thought of
that.
And I saw someone say, too, that when he saw the signs that said, welcome to Kenya, he scrapped his plans to meet with the president of Hawaii. You know,
gotta love it.
He spoke with the president of the Virgin Islands. Oh, you know,
right.
And next week, one of our guests is going to be my cousin. Her brother is married to a Duterte, and it's Rodrigo Duterte, her first or second cousin, who's the dictator of the Philippines now. So I'm kind of indirectly related to a dictator, which.
Doesn't surprise me.
We'll talk to Suzanne about that. Yeah.
Something to put on your resume.
That's how I'm thinking of it. It is Pledge Drive, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. For our special Pledge Drive items, we have all of our winter stuff out because, gosh, it's gotten cold real early this year.
The snow is coming down.
You know, we do have our regular stuff, too, like our T-shirts. And our aprons and all that regular stuff, too. Or you might just want to just say, I have so many T-shirts. Just keep the money and don't spend the postage. It helps keep the radio station on the air. That's 972-647-1893. 972-647-1893. Our first Pledge Drive guest, as usual, is Candy Markin. Candy, last time you were not our first Pledge Drive show guest because your mother went into hospice care.
Right.
And she passed away when?
No. Hospice is passing away before she is.
She's kicking hospice to the curb.
She is. 94 and going strong. Mm-hmm.
Go, girl.
That's good to hear.
It is good to hear.
That's pretty awesome.
Last week, you moderated a panel discussion at Cathedral of Hope on domestic abuse.
Yes.
For it or against it?
I'm against it, David.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Just make it clear. All mm-hmm. right.
What are some of the things that you got out of the panel?
Well, I thought, and you put this together, David, I thought it was an extremely talented and wonderful representation on that panel of people who work with domestic violence. There was a judge, what was his name?
Birmingham.
Birmingham. There was a gal who's over domestic abuse in Dallas, a police officer. There was a woman from Austin who is over the
National Domestic Abuse Hotline.
Yeah, the hotline for it.
Which is based in Austin. Who knew?
Yeah. The National Hotline for Abuse is in Austin. It has been for a while, evidently. She had a lot of statistics I thought that were very good. And then Roy, what was his deal?
The Texas Council on Domestic Abuse.
Yes, I'm so glad you were there.
So this was domestic abuse in general, not just...
No, in the LGBT community.
Okay, same gender. Mm-hmm. And
or transgender also.
What I liked is how involved all these people were and how, though underreported, they still had some very good statistics on what is going on. And there was a fella there who was a transgender man, and he also he told his story. It was very interesting. He talked about being in a relationship with another transgender man and how he was the victim of this other man's being a perpetrator, and didn't exactly get what it was, even though he himself is a social worker. Sometimes it is so hard, especially for a male, to think, I am in an abusive situation. I can't be in an abusive situation. I'm a man, you know, and you are. And also, two women can also be. I mean, I can't be in an abusive situation. Women don't hit each other or push each other. And that's another thing for people to know. It's not just a violent situation when you're in a domestic violent relationship. It is psychological, it is financial, it is always about control and power. And that's what it's about.
I thought it was interesting, the Dallas police officer who was there, what she said was, well, I don't have any statistics overall because we can only arrest when it's an assault.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Did you know when we do classes at the, DigiLay does classes down at the Dallas Police Academy, where we've been since 1993, and also at Dallas Fire Rescue, when we talk about their approach to getting a call of domestic violence in a same-sex household, to make no assumptions.
Yep.
Because so many times, all the time, it can be either one of the partners or spouses, as it may happen. Just because one particular one in the couple is, you know, big and bulky and looks powerful, and somebody else is small and wiry, does not mean that the big bulky one is the perpetrator. And that's true for men and women.
Yes.
And
yes.
To make no assumptions.
Well, in Dallas, they're opening a 20-bed shelter for men.
For men. Yeah,
because
I love that.
There is, I hate that, but this is the need.
Yeah,
right.
I hate that we have any shelters at all, but there's the need.
You know, going back to what you were saying, Candy, about, you know, men probably think, oh, I can't be abused because I'm a man, and women don't think they're abused because girls don't hit each other.
Another woman, yeah.
But I think we do have this image to the outside world that. Gay couples in general, whether it's two men or two women, are just kind of submissive. We're not real aggressive people in general. And I think that may be, or do you think that might hurt us when, in fact, there is a domestic violence situation, and then the police have to get involved because they might not think this is as serious as it really is?
I think the main problem is that it will out us as being a gay couple. It will out me as being gay or lesbian or bisexual, transgender, and I don't know if the police are my friend or my enemy. And so, am I going to be, you know, I'm not safe right now. Am I going to be safe if I call the police? Am I going to be safe? Now, here's what the transgender man said, and I thought it was really good. Because the question was something about people leave and come back, and people leave and come back to the, to those relationships. And what he said was that victims know that when they leave, it escalates the perpetrator. And so maybe they come back to calm them down a little bit, leave again and come back.
Well, look at that case up in Plano where that woman was celebrating her new life and her ex-husband came in and killed, was it 9 people?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Spot him down yeah. with him.
Mm-hmm.
With guns.
And that is...
He no longer had control.
That is what happens, mm-hmm. is that the perpetrator escalates when the person they're trying to control finds their own power and leaves. It will many times send them over the top.
Isn't it also sometimes the perpetrator apologizes, and then the victim was like, okay, I forgive you. They come back, and then it just repeats itself mm-hmm. over and over.
It does, and I think one of the main characteristics of how this works is that, let's say that I'm the victim.
That Carolyn.
I mean, old Carolyn. That maybe I don't have the self-esteem to think that I deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe, this is the devil I know.
Mm-hmm.
I could be in a worse situation. I don't know how to take care of myself. I've been beaten down so much emotionally that I think I'm not, number one, not worthy, and number two, not competent. Even though I'm the only one that's working, I'm the only one bringing in money, she or he tells me, you're a loser, and I believe that. If you come from a family of origin where that went on in your family, many times you can come out as a perpetrator or a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing that keeps someone coming back.
A couple of statistics that I thought were interesting were that domestic violence is about, in gay male couples, the percentage of couples that are involved in domestic violence is the same as for heterosexual couples. And you wouldn't expect that.
What did you expect?
I expected it to be lower.
I probably would expect it to be a little lower, mm-hmm. but not the exact same.
I just figure people are people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it, too. People are people.
Other one is it takes 7 to 9 incidents before the person leaves for good on average.
Yes.
I will share a little story. I've never been a victim of it, but I guess how possibly was about to be. A guy I dated years ago took a swing at me. Didn't land. He regretted it. But that's all it took was one time. Begged and begged and apologized. No, we're done, dude. And and it wasn't because I don't have a forgiving heart, but I just knew, look, I've never been the best looking guy or anything like that around, but I've always had at least a healthy dose of self
esteem.
Right. Thank you. And so
we just got a walk-in pledge.
I knew better. No, that's not going to work, dude.
Well, let me tell you, I would say
thank
no,
you.
You were not in a domestic violence situation because it doesn't start with a hit.
Mm.
It starts subtly, like, oh, you're going to see your family and you're leaving me. It starts with them trying to make your world smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to go out with your friends. I don't like your friends. Okay, then I won't go out with my friends. You didn't acquiesce on any of those things. Let me take your money because I'm better with it than you are. It started off with a swing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that he wasn't a perpetrator because that, but you didn't you didn't have the things before, the precursors before, and the minute that happened, that was it for you.
You
could not tolerate it. There are people who can tolerate it.
Right. I was just going to say, a lot of people in a domestic violence situation, victim or perpetrator, grew up in a home where there was that domestic violence.
And so they can tolerate it.
You didn't look at that and say, oh, this is normal. You looked at that and said, no way.
Right.
No.
You're right. I did not grow up with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So, that's a wonderful story of how we should all feel when something like that happens. We should think, boy, I don't care how sorry you are.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Mm-hmm. I don't want that to come again.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. And by the way, you're cute as a button. So I don't know what you mean by you're not the most handsome guy.
Oh, well, he used to be. He's aged.
I know.
Horribly.
You know,
he's darling.
Baby fat will do that to you.
Mm-hmm. You know, after his pregnancy and... speaking of pregnancy, this is Pledge Drive at KNON 972-647-1893.
Is KNON pregnant?
I was taking a pregnant pause there. 972-647-1893 is our number. We just had, you know, we always say you can pledge online, and the number to pledge online is, or the website is KNON.org, and go to the pledge page. You can call us. You can do a monthly pledge also, and monthly pledges really help the station because it guarantees some income coming in between pledge drives. So 972-647-1893 is the number to call. We are just about out of time. Kendi, what is some advice that you have for somebody who thinks they may be in a domestic violence situation? They shouldn't do it alone.
The thing I think that works the very best is to talk about it. Bring it into the light of day. A friend of yours, a neighbor of yours, a person of the cloth, a religious person, whatever's in your life, someone at work, your family, if you want to go to a therapist. In my line of work, if I see a couple that are in domestic violence, my job is to get the victim out of there.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job, is not to see them and try to fix it, is to get them out.
Right.
But a lot of times, they need to take little steps to try to understand. And if, for instance, they're having a lot of self-esteem issues and say, I think I just make him so mad. If I wouldn't have said that, or if I had, done a better breakfast, those kind of folks need to come talk to a therapist. And hear about their family of origin issues and how they're playing out today, But for sure, to ask someone for help, because from what I saw on that panel, it is safe to call the police. It is safe to talk to some judge. It is safe to get on that crisis hotline and call someone. It's obviously, in Austin, I don't know if it's a 512 number, it's probably an 800 number, but there are crisis hotlines for domestic violence. Call, talk to someone about it.
Kendi, thanks for being with us. We'll see you the first Sunday in February.
I'll be here.
Super Bowl Sunday, I guess. It usually is.
Is it really?
It always is.
Yeah.
You and I meet at the party.
Yes. And watch the game. Yes. Watch the commercials.
And you can watch the game. Still give us a call, 972-647-1893. 972-647-1893.
Thank you, Kim and Linda, devoted listeners of our show. Thank you for your very generous walked-in pledge, and be safe on the road on your trip.
Thank you, Kendi.
Thank you so much, Kendi.
Thank
and
y'all.
We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week.